The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there, everybody. How's it going? In case you're new to This Is Us Too, I just wanted to let you know that minutewithmary.com, it's a fantastic place to discover new makeup and skincare and unleash some new confidence for the new year. So all you need to do is search the hashtag minutewithmary on Facebook or any type of social media. You'll see what I'm talking about, and I would love for you to request to join my marvelous VIPs.
Act in a way that'll make you smile when you're old and gray and lying under a pale pink nursing home blanket, thinking about the life you lived. You do that, you'll be the man your father wanted. Hey, give us your wife. I got the last blueberry pie. Happy New Year, Mr. Pearson.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, let's all have a good cry. How's it going? Welcome back. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I am... I'm so happy to be back. I'm so happy to be doing this podcast. I've legitimately missed This Is Us.
I know. They're kind of like your family a little bit, you know? You just kind of get used to them, and you get used to their quirks and their personalities, and you want to know the latest and greatest in their life, and it feels weird not to go through the holidays with them.
And one of the things that you, as a listener, don't necessarily know is that Mary and I podcasted about This Is Us 2 days a week straight from, like, March all the way till...
To the beginning of the season,
November.
We had it like timed out, so we were able to do 2 podcast episodes every week up until the season 3 premiere, and then we were doing once a week.
Right. So like, it's been a minute.
This Is Us has been a big part of our life this year.
For the past 6 months or whatever it is, like it's been a legitimate part of our life. So
the Pearsons have been in our household a little too often.
So, and we've podcast about it, we've talked about it. We have our group This Is Us Too on Facebook about it, where we were in there, and to have like a break for this long, it's been pretty incredible. So now we finally know what it's like for all of the This Is Us fans out there to have this break for so long.
Yes.
Finally. And I'm happy to say that, you know, the Pearsons are back in our lives, and I'm happy to do this podcast, because again, like I said, I've missed the show. I've missed the family, and I quite like this show. I find it very entertaining.
I know.
And it's almost like being in that comfort zone again, almost.
Oh, seriously. It just feels so good. Well, of course, in this show, in case you're new to This Is Us 2, we like to start things off with a personal story about how we might have connected or related to this episode. And this week, it's Blake's story.
Yes. So there's a couple of things in here that I wanted to talk about. The first one is we actually watched the same exact New Year's Eve broadcast that all the Pearsons
Which
were watching.
Probably tons of these people listening did as well.
And I agree that Anderson Cooper is a hot man. He is an attractive man.
Yes.
I will totally agree with that.
Silver Fox for show.
And poor Andy Cohen with his hat. He was like struggling.
He was getting so wet, and he just wanted to wear his hood because it was cold and rainy.
Right. What they're not showing you on the show is that poor Andy Cohen was like, it was raining like a mother out there, and he was putting his hoodie on, taking it off.
And Anderson Cooper's like, I'm a hardcore reporter. I don't need a hoodie. I've been through the trenches. And It was cute.
And the other thing I want to talk about here, too, is, you know, Beth talking to Randall about who he is and what he is capable of doing. And, you know, we can discuss the merits, of course, of this whole thing, and we will later on. But it reminded me of a conversation that Mary and I had a little while ago when, you know, she was talking to me about the kind of person that I am and the person that I've become over the years, and whether it was because of depression or it was because of the things that we've been going through over the past number of years, of which have been a lot, by the way, between kids and financial things and moving and houses and work, and it's just been crazy. She said to me that, you know, you're a little bit of a different person than what you were when we first met,
yeah,
when we got married, and it's not in a bad way, it's not in a mean way, it's just, you know, things are different for you now, and you as a result have become a little different. And the reason why I bring it up now is because, you know, when Randall hears like that from Beth, essentially, he takes it into his own hands and says, you know what? My family's more important. My love of my wife is more important. You know, we've been doing this whole thing with the whole, you know, campaign, whatever. But it's not worth my wife. It's not worth my children. It's not worth all this stuff. My wife and my children are what make me great. And when that happened in this episode, again, we can debate the merits of the writing of this episode all you want, but when this happened, it really touched me, because I remember as soon as my wife said that to me, not too long ago, by the way, I remember thinking, wow, for some reason, it just struck me. It struck me very hard. And I remember thinking, it's time to man up here a little bit. It's time to grow up a little bit, and not grow up, but just, it's just time to get priorities straight here a little bit and be the man that I am and be the man that I can be and be the man that my wife married, and there's no reason why I couldn't be that man. So it's time to get on with things.
Tell me a little bit about this episode.
The title was The Last 7 Weeks. I think it's fairly obvious what it's referring to. It was a framing device for the whole episode.
Yep.
It starts off at the end of the 7 weeks, and it replays back to the beginning of the 7 weeks and shows you everything in between.
So smart.
So, and it's actually kind of apropos because it's been about 7 weeks since the last episode aired, obviously. So I think that was pretty smart.
I didn't catch that.
The director was Roxanne Dawson. You know, for those of you nerds out there, for you Star Trek nerds, you probably know that name.
You don't have to put on that red light.
That name should be familiar to you because she played B'Elanna Torres on Star Trek Voyager.
Sure she did.
You know what, Mary? You get this.
Shame.
Yep.
You get the shame bell because you don't know who B'Elanna Torres is.
Sure.
She was a fantastic character on Star Trek Voyager.
I bet she was.
She's actually a veteran TV director as well. She has directed many fantastic shows, being between The Americans, The Deuce on HBO, House of Cards on Netflix, Bates Motel, The Good Wife, Caprica, run by one Ira Stephen Bear.
Yeah.
Lost.
Hey. We have to go back, Kate.
And actually a bunch of other television shows. She actually has 54 directing credits to her title.
Stop.
54 credits. So she's a legitimate director.
Yeah.
And the writer was Laura Kinnear, who directed The Big Day. I'm sorry, who wrote The Big Day, Vegas Baby. And she actually has served as a staff writer for season 3 of This Is Us.
Cool.
So this is her first real credit as a writer for season 3.
Good.
Of This Is Us. Marvin, what do you got for your lemonade rating? And I'm desperately waiting to hear what it is because you don't have one here in the document.
I know, I don't.
Mary and I share a document, a Google document, as we podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we have all the answers right in front of us for the most part.
Yeah.
And I don't have one here.
So our lemonade rating is on a scale of 1 to 5 lemonades, thanks to all the lovely lemonade references in season 1. A 1 being terrible, 5 being this is downright delicious and amazing, And I'm going to give this episode a 4.2.
Okay. This is low for you.
It is.
Mary is a cereal 5 lemonade.
Yes.
And if you listen to our other podcast, Outlander Cast, she is a cereal 5 kilt raider.
Yep.
But here in This Is Us, she's a cereal 5 lemonade raider.
Yeah.
Why are you giving this a 4.2, my darling?
Nothing pushed me over the edge. Nothing gave me quite the feels that I was hoping for.
Sure.
And yeah, that's really it.
All right, mine is a 4 lemonade rating, as you all know, for the most part. I'm a hard grader. And you know, Mary, you said something that was pretty thoughtful here, and I don't even think you realize you said it, which is it's kind of just a bunch of stuff happening here.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's sweet that we get the hand-built Three River Stadium or whatever, but like, there's kind of just a bunch of stuff happening.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a palate cleanser. It's a table setter, if you will.
It catches you back up to snuff. This is where we were. These were the conflicts. You know, here's how everyone is emotionally feeling.
Right.
Here is where physically everyone is in the US of A.
Yep.
It reestablished what you need to know, I think, moving forward for the rest of season 3, which is fine. It's fine.
It gets us where we need to be, but it doesn't. It moves things forward, but only in a way where it just establishes everything.
Correct. This was definitely an establishing episode.
Right.
So going into that, we're going to talk about our GBGs, our goods, our bads, and our greats for the episode. So my good was the veteran affairs woman throwing serious Game of Thrones knowledge.
Nerd!
And we have one more soundbite you need to play.
What's that? Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Where is it?
I don't even know.
That's the whole problem. Oh, here it is.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I mean, I've been loving Kevin a lot this season.
Yes.
And for him, like, trying and being like, oh, and then Joffrey. And that lady was like, no.
No, you have no idea.
No.
Joffrey was the son of Robert Baratheon.
Because that's what would happen to me in real life. I would have been that veterans affairs woman.
No, that did happen to you in real life. Tell the story.
Okay.
Tell the quick story.
Okay. So in case you guys missed it, at least for us streaming through the NBC app on Apple TV, there was a great advertisement for How to Train Your Dragon 3, the final movie in one of the most amazing animated series of all time. Okay, it's coming, guys. It's coming. So Blake and I were at Comic-Con. I know it's not my story time, but, you know, it's story time.
Whatever.
Anyway.
You know, it's the premiere. We're breaking all the rules.
We were at Comic-Con. They're mainly
New York.
For Outlander in New York. And what do you know? There was time for the How to Train Your Dragon panel. So we went, and I may or may not have gone like a real-life scavenger hunt to find exclusive prints from the show, finding people in Viking hats. There may or may not have been,
and it may or may not be hanging in our studio right in front of us right now.
So needless to say, like, we love these movies mainly because of our kids. Our kids love these films. It is traditionally meant for younger people. Okay.
Yes.
It's a cartoon about a guy that rides dragons.
It's not just a cartoon, but here's the debate. Is Toy Story 3 or How to Train Your Dragon, or Toy Story or How to Train Your Dragon, better franchise? Think about it. Just ruminate amongst yourselves.
Anyway, so we're in this, because I found the scavenger hunt people with the Viking hats, we earned this like special meet and greet. And everyone else at the special meet and greet who earned it was in cosplay clothes. They were of the right age demographic.
Straight up nerds.
They were like
that
hardcore.
Grew up with it.
Yeah, like they 100% were like How to Train Your Dragon fans and showed it. Blake and I just like normal people. We weren't dressed up anything special. And then all of a sudden, while we're waiting for Jay Baruchel,
who's the voice of Hiccup,
of the lead character, to come out, people were like, "Oh, how can Toothless fly without Hiccup? Because he can't. He has this special tail." And then someone was like, "Oh, but wasn't there this one time when Hiccup made him a tail that helped him fly without him?" And people were like, "I don't remember when." And I step up in front of these nerds.
A 36-year-old woman.
In like normal person clothes, I talked to these cosplay players and I was like, "Don't you remember? It was the Snoggletog episode. It was the Snoggletog present that Hiccup made for Toothless." And they all looked at me like I was the biggest nerd. So basically, what this woman did, throwing her Game of Thrones knowledge.
Hold on, Mary gets this.
It makes me wanna shout.
I just all need you all to know that woman's my spirit animal. That's what I'm like when people talk about Outlander. That's what I'm like when people talk about This Is Us. When people talk about things that I really love and watch too much of, and they throw wrong, false information in, I throw it down just like this woman. No. Joffrey Baratheon
actually
was the son of the actual king. You know,
and that's why he became
Robert
king.
Baratheon, and that's why he was next in line.
Even though Jaime is the real father, has no bearing on why he was king.
So that's my good. We just went off a complete derailment.
It's okay.
Anyway, my bad.
It's the premiere. We're breaking all the rules.
My bad for this episode is I don't know how I feel about Randall winning.
Oh,
and I feel
yes.
like that's terrible of me. But the way that he acted when he got that phone call was kind of weird. I don't know if he was like pumped or if he was like, shoot, now I won. Because I know for me, when I did pageants growing up, when I did pageants in college, I like kind of wanted to win, but not really. Because if you get in second place, you get tons of money and you don't have to do the job.
Right.
You don't have to do anything with it. You just get all the notoriety and you're like, I did a good job. Give me my money. Now, granted, Randall wouldn't have gotten any money, but I just don't know if he's like really pumped about this. And I don't like the things that he said to Beth and the fight that they had and, you know, the 7 weeks prior and everything, like him being like, oh, I was happy as a stay-at-home dad. Randall, you had a flipping meltdown, okay? You weren't like, guess what, Beth? I'm going to be a stay-at-home dad. You had a straight-up mental breakdown,
mm-hmm.
okay? You had to stay home, honey. You didn't have a job anymore. Okay, this wasn't like your life goal to be a stay-at-home daddy.
You fell apart.
And then while you are reprimanding Beth that she doesn't have any aspirations, I just don't like anything that's going on right now. And I'm a little nervous because Randall winning in a area in a district that is 2 hours away. Mm-hmm. This is the guy that said he'll come and shovel your snow.
Yeah, this is not a good start for Randall.
Working 2 hours away from his family. I've had friends who've worked in city councils. It's not an easy job.
Not fun.
Blake's talked me out of it 3 times so far. Because I am Leslie Knope.
You are Leslie Knope.
/ the veteran affairs woman. And Lorelai Gilmore. Anyway, my great Kevin.
Yes, absolutely.
Kevin, and dare I say... Dare I say, Zoe?
Shame.
No. Okay,
here's
no.
Why.
No.
Here is
no.
why. Here is why. Is Zoe the reason I've liked Kevin in this episode? Is Zoe the reason I've liked Kevin so much this season? Because I don't know. I didn't feel good about Kevin until season three. Like really, really good about Kevin until now.
No, and you felt Zoe's good about him in the picture.
Zoe's, like when he started to get a little sober and like was helping out and was holding that hammer and like taking down the lawn stuff, that was really good. But I'm like really digging Kevin.
Do you know what Zoe is?
What?
Not great, Bob.
Well, this is the first episode I was okay with Zoe.
Ugh.
And I don't know if Zoe has made Kevin a better guy.
Sorry. I'm allergic
between
to
that and John Stamos. I mean, that has the John Stamos with the Kevin. I was like, done.
If you wanted to say the great was John Stamos in this episode,
yep.
I would accept that.
Okay,
not Zoe.
No, I said my great is Kevin.
Okay.
Dare I say?
You brought Zoe into the conversation.
She's in it right now. She's in it. All right. How about you? Your GBGs, and hopefully they don't take as long as mine.
My good.
Because the episode is.
It's already 18 minutes in.
Yeah, over halfway done.
The GBGs. The good was the framing device of the Jack conversation with Randall.
Oh my gosh. The fact that we had Jack in the season premiere. Thank you, sweet baby Jesus.
And it's funny because, you know, it's almost like they know when and when not to put Jack in. Because they all. I think the writers know. The writers know that. Our favorite character, I think, on the whole, is Jack.
The entire planet of characters.
Right. I think they know that Jack is the man. And they know when to sprinkle him in, and they know when to take him out, and they know when to use him and when not to. And it takes you back to season two and that phenomenal run of episodes, the number one through number three episodes, right? It's just a fantastic run,
yeah.
And it takes you directly back to that when, in number three, Jack and Randall go back. They go visit Howard, and they go to Washington, and the mm-hmm. whole thing, and the conversation between the two about Abraham Lincoln, looking at Washington Monument. Dad actually wasn't finished until 22 years later after Abraham Lincoln. The whole thing.
So good. So good.
Excellent. I loved that framing device because it sets up narratively the whole episode and everything. You know what... what Randall is going through on a thematic level based solely on that conversation. It's hitting you over the head, but I think that's a part of the DNA of This Is Us so far, where it's like, it may be hitting you over the head, but it works. It works in a way that it's sentimental.
Give me all the jack.
And I like that. The bad, Kevin going, I'm carrying pepper spray. Wait, what the, what?
That was so awkward.
It was
guys.
So bad. It was just random and I'm carrying pepper spray. I just thought that was so stupid.
So awkward.
All right, and the great. And here, and here's the thing. We went ahead and said that this episode is kind of a bunch of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. And that's not wrong. But what it does and why this part of it is great. And this, I think this is a valid debate. It kind of sets the table for the rest of the season. And it is, you know, this was like a very typical This Is Us episode. It walks on the line of sentimentality.
Yep.
It features its characters. It has a bunch of it's emotionally manipulative in certain ways. It is fairly well written. It is extremely well acted, and it's like eating chicken. This is the chicken of This Is Us.
Okay,
it's not filet.
No,
you're not
lobster.
You're not having king crab legs. Okay,
no.
This is the chicken. This is what you go. This is when you go to like a wedding and they give you the chicken dish.
Yeah,
it gets the job
it's
done.
Safe.
It's safe. There's some seasoning on there, but it's not gonna blow your doors off. It gets you full and it allows you to dance. Okay, we got the chicken, and I kind of like chicken as a starter because it gives us a beginning place.
Agreed.
To start. For the rest, we got 8 more episodes. Oh, I'm sorry. We got 7 more episodes. It has to conclude the season 3 story within these 7 episodes. And this season, I think, has been a culprit of this season has been giving us a bunch of filler. It's been giving us a bunch of chicken. And I'm ready to start getting to the filet. I'm ready to start getting to the...
I'm hungry.
I'm kind of hungry too now.
I want Taco Bell now.
You want Taco Bell? You want Taco Bell when we're talking about King Crab Legs? Yeah. You out of your mind?
Nope.
All right. Well, so that's... I kind of think it's great because it's a table setter. And it allows me to get back into it. And it gives me back into the world. And I'm ready for the rest of This Is Us.
Okay.
So are you ready for the big 3 feedback?
You bet.
Let's get it done.
And we said,
that's 3.
Big 3?
Big 3!
Oh, God, just hearing his voice.
I know, it's so good.
I miss Jack
so much.
We know we're getting him next episode, though, so it's okay.
I know.
Jody Bice gave this episode 4.6 lemonades. Her good was, even though I'm done with the councilman story, Randall won the election without using dirt. He won it because he busted his butt and proved himself. Proved he is a good man. You know, I will give Jody that. It's true.
Yes.
He didn't use the dirt.
I would have absolutely used the dirt.
Oh my God, it's because you're Slytherin.
That's how it goes.
Her bad is I'm
you're
still
a
not
wizard, Harry.
Still not on the Zoe train. And her great is Toby recreating Three Rivers Stadium. OMG, Jack Pearson, move right
absolutely
there.
Absolutely,
right?
Jack Pearson.
On
move.
The preview for next week, the big 3 standing outside Nikki's trailer gave me goosebumps, and I felt intimidated. Can't wait till next week.
Yes.
Laura Botsford, what'd she have?
Laura Botsford says the good was the reflective flashback. Oh, she first of all, she gives it 5 kilts. 5 kilts.
Nice.
This is what happens when you have too many podcasts
I
at
know.
Once. 5 lemonades. She says the reflective flashback conversations between Jack and Randall wove the story thread beautifully. Mm-hmm. Yes, what we say and do with our kids stays with them always. This same story voice not only spoke through Randall and his family, but Toby and Kate's search for their first unity as parents. You will be his favorite thing. Aw, that said it all. And even Zoe's barrier of boxes said volumes about her broken childhood. The bad, not a thing, not even a camera angle. It was perfectly filmed. And the great was the blueberry pie scene with the Reverend. It is just those little seemingly insignificant moments of authentic conversation that can change everything. The Reverend stepped up, honoring and respecting each of the candidates' services and efforts. The look on their faces was just the best. Now that was surprising.
And did anyone else want blueberry pie? Because I totally did.
I freaking hate blueberry pie.
You hate pie.
No, I like pie.
What? No. What kind
I like
of...
pie.
No,
I like key lime pie. That's pie.
What other pie?
Apple like pie?
Do you don't actually like apple pie.
I like apple pie. I think apple pie is great. I'm picky about apple pie.
Yeah.
But I like apple pie.
Okay.
I'm all about the apple pie life.
Okay.
Can I just say that the writers absolutely listen to our podcast? They absolutely do.
What makes
There's
you say
no
that?
There's no way that they don't. It's impossible because of John Stamos.
Oh my gosh. Okay, elaborate.
We're the ones, actually you were the one. Remember when they had when Randall and Kevin had the dinner at the Chinese restaurant and Kevin took Randall there to impress him?
Yes.
And we were like, and then we saw all the people seeing Kevin there and they were like, "Oh my God." And you said it would be like me seeing John Stamos at a restaurant. And then all of a sudden Kevin just happens to have a keychain with John Stamos' picture on it.
Yep.
Come on. Please.
If
the
someone's
writers,
listening, hi.
The writer's absolute Laura Kanar is a fan of This Is Us Too. There's no way she's not.
Oh my gosh, Blake.
There's no way
so
that
humble.
She's not.
So humble. All right. So the recap.
What did you think about the whole structure of this episode, Mary, with starting at the end and then going back to the beginning? It reminded me a lot of West Wing in a lot of ways. West Wing and Aaron Sorkin, who was the writer for West Wing, uses this device a lot.
Okay.
And some say to its detriment. Some say that it's an actually interesting device.
I don't really watch West Wing, so I can't
yeah,
really...
you weren't as much of a nerd as I was back in college.
Nope.
But either way,
nerd.
But you know exactly what I'm talking about, though.
Because I didn't even have a television, Blake.
No, you didn't. Okay. No, you didn't. I did.
I had to go to the student lounge.
They definitely weren't watching West Wing in the student lounge like I was. We used to have huge West Wing parties when I was in college.
Yeah, we didn't have those. I lived in the honors dorm. No joke.
Such a dork. It was like alcohol free, and it was a fun it was a fun sponge dorm. That's what it was.
What does a fun sponge mean? I was in it.
It soaks up all the fun. It's a fun sponge.
Listen, when I would come and hang out with my friends and bring the Dunkaroos, it was a party. Okay? It was a party up in here.
So what did you think about this whole device here of starting at the end and then going to the beginning and showing us? You know, because it's funny. It's like it's a different device. They've used it kind of here and there. And they used it to kind of trick you a little bit. You know, when Randall says, you know, this is the longest 7 weeks of my life, you think that Randall and Beth are still fighting. Yet it's the opposite. And here was the real cheap move on this part, which was Kate crying and
that didn't sit well.
That was a cheap move, in my opinion. It's meant to put you down a different direction, and it's the total opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I just feel like that was disingenuous. The one part I liked about it was actually Kevin and Zoe and being like, oh, maybe I should stay back here and have some space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that was a real natural thing for people to say. I feel like that's a real natural thing for couples.
I really
to actually
loved
go through.
That moment with Kevin. I agree. Like, I felt like this is what I would do. I would be like, "Hi, I'm awkward. What am I supposed to do right now?
Right.
Are we not talking? Are we talking?" That's pretty much me.
I don't know. How do you feel? Are you happy that Randall wins? Are you happy that we're still kind of continuing this?
I'm not happy. I'm not happy he won. I don't think that this is a good choice for his relationship. I don't know if this means that Randall and Beth and everybody's going to have to move. I mean, 2 hours is a long drive. On the flip side, maybe that's what propels them both to becoming their best selves. I mean, we have not yet seen how Beth becomes this dance career person.
Yes.
So we don't know necessarily where that is. Now, the kids are in a great school system. You know, Randall does own a building. He could possibly move there and like have a great cool master suite and chill out there, but would he really uproot his family? So it's this 2-hour distance that is really making me a little nervous. Right. I don't know what that means for the Pearson family.
And I think on a writing level, what frustrates me is that we spent half this season with Randall and the election process, and it gave us a legitimate conflict between both he and Beth, right? And then all of a sudden, Beth just decides, I need to support you because he watches freaking Fuller House with his kids.
Yep.
Like, it feels cheap. It feels like it feels like this whiplash change because that's exactly what the plot needed it to be. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like I will say that the change of heart, I think, is a natural thing. I think when you see, as a spouse, your spouse doing things and you don't necessarily agree, but then all of a sudden you kind of see why it's happening, I think as a spouse, you're allowed to change your mind. I think you're allowed to say, oh, that probably wasn't smart.
Oh, are you speaking from experience?
Absolutely speaking from experience.
I know you are. I have proved you wrong so many times.
I know. I totally agree. So what
Blake,
I'm getting...
Blake, you are. You're...
What? Just get it out now.
You're not the best cheerleader for me for the first like week/month of new endeavors.
That's true. Yeah. I will totally.
You're
agree
like
with
a complete naysayer. At least Beth waited a little while, but Blake's like, I don't know if you should do this. And you want to know what it does, guys?
What?
Makes me want it even more. Like when I auditioned to be on TV, Blake was like, I don't know, babe, like this isn't your degree. I don't really know if this is a good idea for you. You're going to just be really disappointed. You're going to like put in all this time. And I looked myself in the mirror. I said, you're going to win this goddamn thing. You don't necessarily need to be on TV forever, but you're going to prove that man wrong.
And you know what? You were right. And actually, I learned a big life lesson from that.
You didn't, because then when I joined Unique and started Minute with Mary, you were like, babe, I don't know if this is a good idea for you.
No, I didn't say that. I definitely did not say that.
I don't know if you need one more thing on your plate.
Well, I did say that because I know you and I love you. And you jump in, you get overwhelmed.
You do.
And I said to you, because you get overwhelmed, sometimes you do have a tendency to quit things. And I said, if you're going to do it, but don't quit.
And I did it.
And you didn't. And now you're a freaking rock star. I'm just saying, I laid out the things that were in front of you. And I didn't say you couldn't do it. I said, I just don't want you to quit it.
I know.
But I kind of get where Beth is coming from and changing her mind, but it happens all of a sudden like that. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, Randall gets everything he's ever wanted. He wins the election.
All I ever wanted.
He has his kids. He has his wife. They all support each other. They're going to church. Everything is, they got blueberry pie and watching Anderson Cooper, and everything's happy-go-lucky and the world's right again. I feel like that's just cheap writing to me.
I don't think it's cheap writing, because I think that this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think that this is setting things up for some major stuff.
Like bad stuff.
Change. I don't necessarily think if it's bad, but I just think it's change.
Fair.
Okay.
We
have to start to somehow get to the point where Beth ends up getting her passionate career.
Fair.
And
also fair.
That's going to be a big change. So,
and I would say that starting them off reconciled,
yeah,
leading to that change is a decent arc.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Kevin and Zoe. Where are we on Kevin and Zoe here? I mean,
so
like,
confused.
I like the fact that they kind of they indirectly discover that, Jack knew there was Nikki, and Nikki was alive.
Oh, the CK,
the Clark Kent.
Kent.
I thought that was well written. I kind of
so
like
good.
That. I like
so
that.
So good.
And you know, I think that's indicative on a lot of things, because Nikki calls Jack Superman,
yep.
and Clark Kent is the human version of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So the man that is behind the cape, and is Superman the real person, or is Clark Kent the real person? Clark Kent's just the loser guy that works at the paper. Whereas
he's a loser,
you know. But what I'm saying is, like, he's the nerd boy.
Yeah.
And that's what Nikki was. He was the nerd boy. So to call himself Clark Kent in comparison to Jack's Superman, I think that's really cool. I like that a lot. But it just so happens that Kevin happens to have this postcard from his dad's stuff that apparently just made it out of the fire.
No, Jack went in and grabbed some very important things during the fire. Remember, he had a pillowcase full of stuff.
That's true.
Photo albums and all those things. So, and the video with Kate. So that was in his stuff.
But I will say that I really like the idea that Jack knowing Nikki was alive is... Because as much as I didn't like this twist of Nikki being alive, it's got some real world flavor to it that Jack
is going to be like,
oh, I know. This is going to be big time for Rebecca. And Jack knew that he was alive. And now his kids have to bear that burden.
Yep.
His kids have to figure that out.
That perfect Jack Pearson.
Right.
Lied.
Right. So I think, yeah, he lied. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he didn't, yeah, he lied because he said his brother was dead.
Yeah.
But there was this moment, too, when in the beginning of this episode, well, at the end of this episode, you know, Randall's asking his dad, you want to go see your brother at the mall? And he's saying, no, it hurts too much.
Yeah.
That's not a lie. Maybe it does hurt too much. Maybe it does hurt Jack too much that knowing his brother is alive and his brother, and he's willfully and knowingly.
Yep.
Ignoring his brother. I think that may hurt too much. How did you feel about the whole transition of being super happy and lovey and we're going to move in with John Stamos to all of a sudden Kevin being like, this is not good with Zoe. Like having these issues of being like, should we really be together?
I didn't like that he seemingly got upset that she broke up with her boyfriend over email. Like that to me didn't make sense because I'm like, Kevin.
I see. I could kind of get behind that. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah, because.
That's why he got upset?
Yeah, because.
There's so much more to be upset with Zoe about.
I know, but he's looking at all this stuff in his apartment and she's like, and she breaks up with this dude over an email and.
Kevin does not have a good track record,
That could easily happen to him.
Kevin
very easily.
Kevin is a cheater.
Absolutely.
He's an addict. He is not a perfect person. So to be there and be like, you broke up with your boyfriend over email, at least she sent him something. There are people who just drop off the face of the planet. Okay?
Valid point.
She did not feel comfortable to do it face to face. She didn't feel comfortable to do it over the phone. Is email the best way? No. But like, Kevin, you're no saint. Okay, buddy? You've done worse things.
That's a valid point. I think that's fair.
And I love Kevin right now. I love Kevin.
I think Kevin is actually the best character on this show, aside from Jack. I think I think the writers have made it a real point to give you multiple layers of Kevin.
When are they going to help us love Kate a little more?
Oh, because they're not doing a great job right now.
Oh, Kate, how dare you?
How are you? She just sells his stuff so nonchalantly, and she just comes up and says, "You have to sell all your toys.
Goodbye."
Like what? That? Like if you told no. And then she's just like, "Oh yeah, DNS. Yeah, then like, oh yeah, here, it's donations. Yeah, you just give all this stuff away." I will give her credit for trying to buy all the stuff back and leveraging her pregnancy and her dad dying
seriously
to work the kid to try to get all the stuff back.
Yep.
But I'm still not in love with Kate. I'm just not, and the writers haven't given me a whole ton to make me love Kate.
I know. It'll come.
I worry that
because they've done it with Randall and they've done it with Kevin.
Kevin, they've really worked on, and
yeah.
Kevin was, I'm not going to say a nothing character in season one. He wasn't a nothing character, but there was nothing quite redeeming about Kevin. He just seemed like a spoiled little pretty boy who had chicks left and right, had a great body, had millions of dollars, and wore stupid hats inside.
That was amazing.
That was pretty amazing. But you know, I'll tell you. Since then, the layering and the texture that they've given Kevin, I think it's made him. Here's a hot take for you. Ready? It's made him probably the most. It's made him the most textured character on This Is Us. Would you agree or would you disagree? Given all of his daddy issues, given his own self-esteem issues, his addiction.
Along with Jack, because I feel like Jack is very, very textured.
I would agree. All right. Anything else? Any final thoughts for this episode, my darling?
No, I'm really excited to see where things go. I don't think that this was the most stellar episode, but I honestly think it would have been weird if it was. So I think that it set things in motion. It said, here are the things we're watching. We're watching Kate and Toby's pregnancy. It's moving along. It's moving along swimmingly.
Yes.
Rebecca and Miguel are still as nerdy and weird and cute.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
They're just precious as ever, and they're like sweet little ways.
Although I will say it was cute when Kate sends Randall the picture of the lime, and he's like, oh yeah, it looks like Kevin.
Yes. So good.
Good stuff. Good writing there.
So I think they're setting things up, and I'm excited about that.
And how much of a Jack Pearson move is getting this Three River Stadium built out of nothing just by pictures?
So good.
How phenomenal.
Yeah.
And how is Kate paying for all of this?
I don't know. Not the Adelagrams, I tell you what.
All right. You ready for In or Out?
Yeah.
What's it gonna be, McFly? Are you in or out?
Okay. In or out. Kate selling Toby's toys.
Out.
I'm way out on this.
Dumb,
you
Kate.
Don't touch a man's action figures.
Dumb.
There's a difference between action figures and toys. In or out. Kate buying all the toys back on eBay with what money?
Out.
Way out on this.
Where's your money, Kate?
How are we doing?
How much credit card debt? Do you need to listen to Dave Ramsey?
The total money makeover.
Seriously.
She's going to school, apparently. How is she paying for all this?
No, I do with Toby's money. Poor Toby's like, thanks for buying it back. Oops.
You're buying with my own money. Thank you. In or out, the structure of this episode, starting on election night and then going back only to go forward.
I liked it.
I liked it too. I'm not going to go as far as saying Chris Nolan-esque, but I like seeing the ending. It created drama. It created a little bit of tension.
Yeah.
It showed you one thing and then gave you another.
Yeah, I dug it.
I'm kind of into that. In or out, Beth giving into the election after one night of Fuller House.
I don't know how I feel about
this. Oh, no, you gotta make a choice. In or out? In or out?
Well, it wasn't one night.
It was basically one night. It was basically one night.
He came home with the blueberry pie.
Yes.
And he had Fuller House.
He was catching up on
but it
on,
was a few weeks.
He was catching up on Christmas inheritance.
Yeah, but he had a few weeks on the couch.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like it's one night.
One night and one morning. In or out? Come on, make a choice.
No, I'm like in, I guess.
Land the plane, Helen.
Come on.
I'm in.
All right, you're in. All right. In or out? Randall throwing away the gossip on Saul Brown.
In.
I am way out. You use that. You always use that. Or you don't throw it out. You keep it in your back pocket.
You're a Slytherin, so that's how you roll.
You're a wizard, Harry.
All right, in or out, Randall winning the election.
Out.
I'm out, too. I desperately want this whole election thing over. I'm glad that it's over. I wonder, since the election is over, mm-hmm. now that Randall has an established job and he can just have the job, I wonder if it gets better from here.
I hope so.
In or out? Watching Fuller House with the girls.
Oh, in.
I'm completes. Totally in on that, too.
John Stamos
again. In or out, Fuller House or This Is Us, better TV show?
Oh, This Is Us.
So in or out, This Is Us being better?
Yes.
Okay. In or out, Jack being 100% aware that Nikki was alive and hid it from his family.
I don't know. Out.
You're out on it?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I mean, in because it's making for good television now that Jack's dead.
All right. In or out on asking.
There's so many in and outs.
Oh, I got two more. In or out, asking an ex for a favor.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Zoe in the congressman.
Oh, in.
I'm way out. You don't ask an ex for a favor
God, I have
like that.
I've asked ex for favors all the time.
I know you have, and I've had lunch and dinner and hung out with your exes. It drove me freaking crazy.
I almost asked one of them to play music for this show, and I still might.
Oh my God.
For this podcast.
Oh my God. No, we're not doing that. We're not
original
doing it.
Original compositions.
Don't care. No, we're not doing it. Freaking exes. I had to have dinner with Mary's ex.
Oh my God, you act like it was
I actually had with two exes I had dinner with. Drove me bananas.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. All right, final one. This is the the requisite question of every episode.
Okay.
In or out on Zoe? Come on, let's go.
I'm still out.
I'm way out. I am so far. I couldn't be any more out on Zoe.
But like, I obviously the turnaround, she's in.
The turnaround on her, just because like there's this.
She's in. They wouldn't just have her out all of a sudden. He's had flukes and floozies and Sophie, and she's in.
I'm
this
not,
is us has
I'm,
in on her.
I'm not saying that the writers are out on her. I'm saying I'm out on her. She Zoe sucks. I love you, Kevin. Me, 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 me. No, no. She hears one stupid speech from Randall, and all of a sudden she's like, oh, I push myself, and you push me, and blah. Get out of here, dude. I was way more into what was the white ex-wife's name? It was Sophie.
Sophie?
I was way more in on Sophie than Zoe. Zoe sucks. I'm out on Zoe.
Okay.
Are you ready for the? You got a hot take of the week?
Sure.
All right. What do you got?
I think that the Pearsons are moving.
What do you mean?
I think that they're going to move closer to his district, if not into his district.
Okay. All right. I get you. That would make more sense.
Yeah.
That would make and Beth doesn't have a job. He doesn't got a job. His job is in Philadelphia. Why not move?
Yep.
That makes sense. And that would go. That would freshen things up for the Pearson clan.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you that.
Leave their like cushy, you know, gated community where they feel a little out of place. Just because, remember how he was saying like, because of the William thing. God, I just feel like so uncomfortable when I'm sad, but I love their house and I love their kitchen.
The kitchen's
phenomenal.
It's a big
part of me that
I love the fridge in their kitchen.
I want them, I mean, because that's not like an affluent community that they'd move to. I want them to still have a nice kitchen.
All right,
but that's why I'm saying he can make a master suite. He can make a master suite.
All right, my hot take is this. We are absolutely going to get a Beth childhood episode, and we are going to learn about her dad and why she cried with Randall when he cordoned
off the
eucalyptus smell and all that other stuff. We're going to learn about the blueberry pie, how that all came about, and I couldn't be more happy about this. I absolutely want to know more about Beth. I absolutely want to know more about her dad, and I want to get some more background on Beth and why she is the way that she is.
Yep.
I think it's worthy of exploring. Marvin, are you ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it.
Thank you all so much for listening, and welcome back to This Is Us 2. If this is your first time checking out our podcast, come on back next week. We always have loads of fun, and make sure that you join our Facebook community. Tell them more about it, Blake.
You can reach us at This Is Us 2. It is a group on Facebook. You get to interact with not only myself and Mary, but all the other This Is Us nerds out there, and you get to just hang out. It's a fun time, man. We're there having a good time.
Now, if you've been a longtime listener of This Is Us Too, we would love it if you could take a moment to write a review in your podcast app of choice. This week, we want to thank Helio Blanc, who says, I listen to many podcasts, and Marian Blake's This Is Us Too is my favorite. Well, maybe tied with Outlander Cast.
Oh, thank you.
Their podcast covers everything from the creative and technical structure of the show to the way it relates to their own lives. Listening to this podcast truly feels like kicking back with old friends.
Thank you.
Talking warmly about your favorite show. So we want to thank you so much and thank everyone who's taken the time to write a review. As for now, my name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
And this is Us Too.